Greetings, saints of God, and thank you for tuning in to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my Lady of Joy, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Bless you, my dear, and shalom to all. And isn't it wonderful to still experience the joy of the Lord regardless of what's going on around us?
You know, it sure is. This week, we are finishing our study in the book of Zephaniah.
Yes, we have been taking our time with this prophet because there is so much easy meat about the end of the end. It's pretty self-explanatory. Of course, you can catch up if needed because all our studies are archived on our webpage, shofarministries.net. So, let's bow our hearts in prayer.
Abba, Father, supreme being over all, we magnify your name, and with sincere gratitude, we thank you for your word, your son, Yeshua, that brings light to my soul. We pray miraculous healings on those experience affliction who are called by your name. We continue to plead the blood of salvation over all our loved ones. We pray for our president. Give him your divine wisdom and supernatural protection during these chaotic days. And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen.
Well, many important meetings went on this week.
I'll say. With North Korea, of course, taking the spotlight as they are very happy about the first sitting American president stepping onto their soil. They have agreed that there's going to be meetings between each appointed delegates. But as President Trump always says,
we'll see what happens.
The proof is in the pudding. But another important meeting was with China, which we are hearing went pretty good. And again, we're just going to have to wait and see. But there was a softening from President Trump by his delaying any added tariffs. But more importantly, he said, and I guess you could say this kind of bothers me and many others, that he would lift some of the restrictions to allow our U.S. firms to sell our high-tech equipment to China's Huawei technologies, which were blacklisted due to high security risks and stealing our technology.
You know, it's a definite give in there.
And then there's Russia.
And Putin wore his familiar smirk in all the videos I saw.
He did. He has that look. And you have to know, though, really what all these dictators have to be thinking. You know, if Trump is not gone in 2 years, he certainly will be gone in six. These lifelong leaders have to wonder about whatever deal they make now, if they make it now, could just be overturned later.
As Trump did with Obama's Iran deal.
Exactly. Speaking of which, Iran has now exceeded the uranium stockpile limits set in the Obama deal that was still being honored by Europe.
So now what will EU do?
Well, hopefully they'll help us by adhering to the added sanctions. But you still have Turkey, who, by the way, are fighting with the Kurds right now. And, you know, we back them. So that's not good. And Turkey, along with Russia, China, North Korea, and even Germany, is still buying Iranian oil and other supplies.
And Iran is about to buy the S-400 defense system.
Yes, from Russia. And that will guard their uranium storehouses very effectively. Now, the question is, will we or Israel hurry to attack these storage facilities in Iran before this updated system is installed?
Well, Israel did it before.
Yes, years ago they did, and without obvious retaliation, except, of course, through its proxies.
Which is never-ending.
Yeah, on and on it goes. But it is very interesting to see that Hezbollah has been slowly moving out of Syria back to their headquarters in Lebanon. We think because they are closer and better equipped to attack Israel should Iran experience any missile attacks from us, and have even threatened to attack Israel if we do that. So while all this is going on, Monday, Israel did hit some of Iran's covert military facilities located inside Syria.
Yeah, in fact, 10 of them.
Including the military airport in Damascus. Syrian sources say there could have been more, but their defense system intercepted some of the missiles. This was certainly a large-scale operation due to some great intelligence that Iran slash Hezbollah were preparing to embark on an operation against Israel, again, as part of Iran's retaliation for the Trump's sanctions. But Israel's wide-ranging strikes were aimed at preempting that operation before it got off the ground.
And it worked for now.
Seems so.
All right, is there any good news in Israel?
You know it. Archaeologists located under Jerusalem the actual road called Pilgrim Street, which leads from the Pool of Siloam, where the Jews would transport their sacrifices and do a mandatory cleanse called a mikvah before continuing to the temple.
Well, you know, that's just more evidence that the Bible is true.
Amen.
All right, then over here, just watching some of the Democratic debates, it just sickened me.
I know. The hatred shown against their own president. Plus, they all want to implement multitudes of socialistic programs that would be our downfall.
America as a republic is disintegrating.
Now, we know God picks our leaders, but we also know that sometimes, as in the example of Saul, that he allows the leaders that they choose to run the country, if only for a lesson.
We all pray that President Trump is reelected.
And of course, we are always hopeful and looking for his bride to meet Jesus in the air.
Maybe this fall.
Well, there's still three appointments to be fulfilled. The next one is Rosh Hashanah, and that begins sundown on Sunday, September 29th, till Tuesday at sundown. So, we don't know which day or hour he could call us up.
Okay, be sure to send your comments or your end-time questions to Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net or call the office. But be sure to leave your phone number with a detailed message to 440-834-9006. And we will call you back if you leave a message with your phone number. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And yes, we do need your help to stay on the air. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your learning pleasure.
Just an abundance of biblical information is right at your fingertips.
Yeah. Okay, how about a quick recap of the first two chapters?
Sure. Zephaniah is a great warning letter, first to Judah by Babylon, of course, then skips ahead to in that day for Israel and actually the whole world. And as we said, through that judgment called Jacob's trouble, all Israel will get saved, according to Ezekiel 38, 39, Romans 11, and Revelation 12, with the 144,000 being the first fruits of salvation at the very beginning of in that day, right after we leave and just prior to the seals being opened in Revelation 6.
And Zephaniah wrote during the reign of young King Josiah,
when his evil father King Amon was assassinated.
And Zephaniah and Josiah were distant cousins,
both from the royal line, whose great-great-grandfather to them both was good King Hezekiah. We see that Zephaniah hated their spiritual compromising, and he gave the royal court a very strict warning message of their coming destruction. Zephaniah is really an easy read. Not a lot is hidden or under the surface type meanings.
Yeah, it's a very straightforward.
Well, in chapter 2, we see more warnings for the people to repent before it's too late. And he is pleading the same thing today. We also saw in chapter 2, verse 3, of the promise of us being hidden in the future day of his wrath. Praise the Lord.
And also the saved Jews during the last half of the tribulation.
Yes, according to Revelation 12. Also in chapter 2, he names their current enemies that will be punished for their excessive pride. And last time we spent a few minutes on the false gods and their probable beginnings.
And again, all programs are archived on our webpage if you missed any.
So, as always, we will comment here and there. Today in Zephaniah chapter 3, we will be closing the book this week. And it continues by describing the ongoing wickedness of Jerusalem. In spite of their many warnings before deserving correction, they had succumbed to its neighbors' worldly ways and their very negative influence on them. As well, they did not allow the land to rest as was in their law. And of course, we know King Nebuchadnezzar did attack and took the people, one of them being Daniel, to Babylon for 70 years. So, let's begin chapter 3 and verse 1.
Woe to her who is rebellious and polluted, to the oppressing city.
That means a violent city.
She has not obeyed his voice. She has not received correction. She has not trusted in the Lord. She has not drawn near to her God.
Zephaniah is calling out the root problem of Jerusalem's sins. Verse 3.
All right. Her princes.
And that's just another term for their leaders.
Her princes in her midst are roaring lions.
Isn't it interesting that he compares them to roaring lions, like 1 Peter 5:8 describes the devil? Then again, Ephesians 6 tells us the power behind the wicked.
Her judges are evening wolves that leave not a bone till morning. Her prophets are insolent, treacherous. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law.
In other words, they disrespect the law.
The Lord is righteous in her midst. He will do no unrighteousness.
In other words, God has every right to punish their insolence.
Every morning he brings his justice to light. He never fails. But the unjust knows no shame.
They refuse to see the light. Great analogy, and it definitely still applies today. So, honey, please read verses 6 and 7, but I'm going to have you read it from the original, as it's just a little more clear. As we see that God has done damage for them to their enemies, but they still don't recognize God's helping them.
I have cut off nations. Their towers are devastated. I have made their streets waste with none passing by. Their cities are laid waste without a man, no inhabitant. I said, surely you will fear me. You will receive instruction. Then her dwelling would not be cut off, which I appointed for her. But they rose early and corrupted all their deeds.
Yep. That's the reason for judgment from Babylon. Now, Zephaniah shifts gears to bring a little joy to the future faithful remnant. In other words, to hold on and faithfully wait. First will come the indignation, and that's termed as well as Jacob's trouble. So, verse 8.
Therefore, wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger. All the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy.
Mm-hmm. And then verse 9 speaks of his restoration in the Messianic kingdom.
For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they may call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord.
Interesting how we have seen, especially since they began returning to their land, an exuberant love of their native language of Hebrew. The original actually calls it a pure lip, because that is God's chosen language since probably Adam. Now, Enoch is suspected of being the first to actually write it down, and it was more in picture form, and we call it ancient Hebrew, and we can view that today as well. And each letter has a picture meaning to it. I wish I could speak better Hebrew, but someday in the millennial kingdom, and of course, eternity, we all will.
Yes, everyone, not just the Jewish people.
Amen. Okay, let's continue in verse 10.
From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, the daughter of my dispersed ones,
Israeli descendants,
shall bring my offering.
Again, talking about every mortal being fortunate enough to be in his millennial kingdom.
In that day you shall not be shamed for any of your wrongdoings in which you transgressed against me, for then I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain.
Pride is never accepted, even in the millennial kingdom. And all your past sins are removed from your memory. Now, if any mortal in the millennial kingdom does willingly and repeatedly transgress, because they will still have a free will, well, they'll be taken from their midst. But if they live righteously, they will not be haughty and will live actually to eternity and through eternity. And we know that that's the length of Christ's kingdom, about 1,000 years, like Adam did.
Yeah, he was 930.
Now, before we finish Zephaniah, let's look at how Isaiah describes the millennial kingdom. And that's in chapter 65. And honey, if you could read verses 20 through 25.
No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed.
Okay, in other words, if someone does die because of sin, at 100 years old, they will still be called a child. Imagine that. Now, Isaiah describes their lives and how they work only for themselves to live comfortably. Remember, these are mortals. The bride, which are us, are immortal and cannot sin, but rather are ruling and reigning with Christ on top of the holy mountain of Jerusalem. Verse 21.
They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, So shall be the days of my people.
By the way, trees can live 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah. For they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. And dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord.
Again, that was Isaiah 65, verses 20 through 25. So that gives you a little idea of the simplicity of the mortals in the millennial kingdom. Eternity, of course, will then be even better when God literally brings down heaven to earth and everyone will have an immortal body. Read Revelation 21 on your own. Now let's go back to Zephaniah and finish it out here. Right now we're in verse 12. As Zephaniah continues describing those in Christ's kingdom.
I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid.
This speaks of the peace and prosperity Israel will know in the millennial kingdom. Verse 14 through 20 now speaks on how we should be joyous in this revelation that God has revealed for all of us.
Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear Zion, let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God, in your midst, the Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing.
How about that? God sings too, and he's going to sing over us. And now he reminds us of his promises and how he will remove all our cares.
I will gather those who sorrow over the appointed assembly. Who are among you to whom its reproach is a burden? Behold, at that time I will deal with all who afflict you.
Again, this is speaking during the tribulation.
I will save the lame and gather those who were driven out. I will appoint them for praise and fame in every land where they were put to shame. At that time I will bring you back, even at the time I gather you. For I will give you fame and praise among the peoples of the earth when I return your captives before your eyes, says the Lord.
Amen. So, people, Christ is coming soon to reign. So don't grow weary. You got to keep looking forward and be anxiously awaiting to that coming time of pure, joyful happiness. It'll be worth it after all, that I can tell you. So, be honest with yourself. Do you only run to God when you're going through something? I think of the many warnings we have today. Biblical weather events, flooding, fires, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes. And the unrighteous don't take any mind of the fact that God could stop it, but he's allowing certain disasters, trying to open their eyes. Some are, by the way, thank God, praise Jesus. But, you know, as a whole, most don't. We do, however, notice ourselves the many signs. But we're only a remnant on a narrow road. So, reach out. Let's help bring more onto this narrow road and make it a crowded one. And so, how about you? Are you really saved? Or is it just a head knowledge? If there's any doubts, start over afresh, repent, and invite him into your life. Make him Lord over your life. Grab it now, right now, while there is yet time, because the window is closing. But it's always your choice. He's knocking on the door, but he doesn't open it. You have to open it. That's what we call a free will. All right, I'd like to leave you with the Aaronic blessing, and of course that's from Numbers 6, 22 through 27. Yivarechka Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'yinecha, Yasa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yasem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you that perfect peace. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, those who love her. Well, you're going to prosper in every way possible. And of course, that's Psalm 122, verse 6. And be sure to keep our president in your prayers, all our leaders, by the way. And tune in next time. Tell a friend. Share your knowledge. Tell them about the Lord's coming soon, because he is, and I'm excited about that, and I hope you are too. All right, we'll leave you now, and we'll see you next time for another intense Bible study. God bless you.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.